This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Creams and serums are made of 70% water, 15% preservatives and emulsifiers, leaving only around 15% for the active ingredients that your skin needs. But luckily now, there's Fiber Skincare.
15 years ago, the scientists behind Fiber Skincare started working on nanofibers, which are 500 times smaller than human hair. You know, I saw that in Three Body Problem. Mm. 1 year ago, they patented a way of wrapping the nanofiber around oil or liquid-based ingredients. This means they can deliver five times the active ingredients compared to creams or serums, as there is no need for water, preservatives, or emulsifiers.
The first formulation made with this technology is plant-based, anti-wrinkle. It's a set of patches that you use over a series of 7 days. You just put these on whenever you would apply your serums, and your skin is going to feel tighter in 10 seconds. And over the seven-day program, it has been clinically proven to reduce wrinkles by, get this, 19.4%, a very precise percentage. In fact, they have a tighter skin guarantee. If your skin isn't tighter in 7 days, they're going to give you your money back, no questions asked.
You get the tighter skin guarantee with this 7-day routine. Tighter skin or your money back. Get a 15% discount code by using the discount code GAME. That's Fiber Skincare.
It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses.
Welcome back to the dramatic season premiere of Bachelor in Paradise. Ready for the romance? How about the heartbreak? Are you ready for the happy tears and the sad tears? I know I am. So just who will find love and who will leave here devastated and alone? About to find out. You ready? Because the beach...
Just remember one thing. It's not your poop baby. It's gonna be our poop baby.
I know what I bring as a woman in this relationship. You just didn't see that, and you can go see that with someone else, and I don't care. I am not living with the bugs for no reason.
Like, I am really into John Henry, but Kat is pursuing him hard. She's so narcissistic. You disrespectful hoe. I'm disgusted. I look at her and I'm like, ugh. Like, I'm sorry, I'm gonna profusely, like, bomb all over the place.
Here's to never being certain what the hell this place has to offer you. And being thrown curveballs left and right, but continuing to swing at the hope that you hit something.
We also have a man who is as bitter as his drink, Wells Adams.
When I came, like, down those steps, I told myself, if there was a point where I knew I needed to go, I would go. And it's gonna be so hard, but I think I know that this is that moment.
There's 12 weddings last year. Hook up with whoever you want when you want. I have the ability to, but it's not what I want. Like, I want one of those 12 weddings to be my wedding, you know?
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues. And today we've got something very special. We're going to be going through everything that you need to know, that you need to remember, if you care to remember anything at all about Bachelor in Paradise Season 9.
Mm-hmm. You're not going to take a forget me now.
I mean, It was a rough one. Look, there's no two ways about it. This was a rough season, and this happens, especially in any franchise that has the volume, the history of media that this franchise has made. Some seasons are going to be better than others. Some seasons are going to be worse. This was the worst one yet. That said, there were a lot of important things that still happened in it that are, I think, going to be very influential moving into the future in terms of how producers look back at this season and how it's going to affect future seasons. Hopefully lessons have been learned. And a lot of what we talk about today is about that.
They're going to stop someone from pooping every season now.
Yeah, exactly. They just make everybody as constipated as possible.
Jam them up.
Is there some kind of medication that can do that?
Yeah.
Make you constipated? There must be.
I'm sure. They got medications to do anything you want to your poop.
Oh, nice. Didn't know that. But yeah, we're going to be going through our top 10, and we're also going to be giving out our season ending awards. These are face plays of the season, creatures of the season, heirs of the season, plays of the season, MVP of the season, Jorge Moreno of the season. So stick around for that at the end. All right. Shall we get into this? Are you ready, Pace Case?
I'm ready.
All right. Our number 10, top 10 takeaway here is the overuse and misuse of crowns. This season had technically more crown appearances than any other season in Bachelor in Paradise. And one of them, Rachel Recchia, was the worst one, probably. They mistreated her so badly. She was there in the first sand round. She was even first female sand, which was great. Everything was looking up in that first 5 minutes of episode one. Then we watched what happened to her. No date card. Didn't get to go on any dates.
The disrespect.
That were of her own volition. It was other people getting a date card, like Braden inviting her on a date. Yeah, complete disrespect to her. And we watched it just kind of beat her down and beat her down until in the end she self-eliminates during the final rose ceremony. In a real moment of sadness, I felt that she was kind of the spirit of the Bachelor franchise embodied in this season. And that really is what it's felt like to be a fan of this franchise the past couple of years. Golden Bachelor notwithstanding, obviously, and Charity Lawson season notwithstanding, obviously. But
I have one more thing that I'll get to in my awards that I think represented the season as well, but I agree.
Yeah, this season had a couple of mascots. But
the ad that said, here are four, there's going to be four bachelorettes on sand. It was a disrespect not only to the crowns, making them do this whole charade where they're pretending to date, but also a disrespect to us and our intelligence. Yes,
absolutely. And that ultimately with any show, the people who make the show are beholden to the audience. And when you treat the audience like shit, like you can make creative decisions that don't work, fine, we'll forgive that. But don't treat us like we're dumb, like we haven't been watching this show since the beginning. And to trot out Katie Thurston, Sand Beast, as much as I love seeing Sand Beast do her Circle of Pain, Charity Lawson to come in to just be essentially an assassin for one of the characters at a certain point, which we'll get to a little bit later, and to make us think, oh, they're here to date. We all knew Katie Thurston was going to be on F-Boy this season. We all knew Hannah Brown is engaged to a fucking guy. We all knew Charity Lawson is, we saw her last season with Dutton. We know they're together from the very show that you make. So why do this?
We're voting for her in Dancing with the Stars as she hoojoos Dutton.
Yeah, it was just terribly handled from top to bottom. Recchia should have had a date card on day one and should have gotten date cards whenever she wanted them. Recchia should have been given special treatment.
Yes. She should have been given multiple date cards.
The idea that, like, I think the producers have this idea in mind of Bachelor in Paradise that when you show up to it, it's like everybody's equal. Fuck you. You all have to live in shitty conditions. This is about torturing you. And so they don't give special treatment to a crown like they did to Becca Kufrin that one season. But the only reason she got internet access is because she had to still record Happy Hour. So she was still an employee of that podcast, you know. I think had she not had that obligation to the franchise, she wouldn't have gotten special treatment either.
So that's what we were really missing this season. We didn't have enough official Bachelor podcasters on sand.
Well, I mean, the official Bachelor Nation podcast world, this is kind of a side note, I guess, is greatly diminished, obviously. We had three official Bachelor Nation podcast going at one point. Now we're down to one. It's hosted by... Clickbait. Yeah, we're down to clickbait. God, I wish it was still clickbait. We're down to Happy Hour hosted by Grocery and Serena, but it feels a lot like clickbait in that it's just kind of meandering and not really about anything anymore. So I don't know. There's some diminishment there too, but it was just sad to see the treatment of all these crowns coming in, giving their time. I thought Beast pulled it off probably the best, the Sand Beast, because she seemed to have a malicious glee.
Circle of Pain was enjoyable.
You know, in the future, I think this is a good idea to bring crowns back and to even have them host group dates. I don't think that's a bad idea. It's the way it's presented. Don't make it seem like they're there to date people. That is so stupid and just a waste of time.
And a waste of time having them go and check in with people and see who they're dating. Speaking of things that made me feel bad this season, our number 9 top takeaway from this season of Bachelor in Paradise was no Boom Boom Room. We saw the diminishment of it last season when we had only Jared and Ashley Iaconetti using it for their fart play. And,
their fart play. That was Ashley Iaconetti's fart play exclusively.
Kira Mengistu's... vibrator play.
Yeah. Stolen vibrator play. Used other person's vibrator play.
Oh, right. I forgot about... I've already softened the edges of all of those things.
That was Sally's vibrator, supposedly.
God, they did her dirty. What did Sally do to them? The flight mishap? That's what she did to deserve all this ire?
She didn't get on the flight that we had booked for her. Now, make Kira Mengistu open up her fake suitcase and use her fake vibrator in the boom boom room that's filled with Ashley Iaconetti's creamy Caesar farts.
Anyway, I didn't miss the creamy Caesar farts, but I miss the boom boom room. Why are we taking the sex out of the paradise, which is supposed to be sexier than our main game? They always advertise it down to flock, flamingo toys humping each other. That's the advertisement. Where is the sex?
I absolutely agree. And I think that it just lent to how boring this season was.
It makes it seem like the couples are not real.
Yeah. Well, of course, they're not real. That's obvious. We saw that in the end. Remember when fucking Sam P and PP had their breakup conversation? And he's like, listen, I'm all exing you. I think this should go to the fantasy suite. And she's like, no, bye. They all were like that.
No, they're giving me a bonus to break up with you right now.
Yeah, basically. But I agree with you. The Boom Boom Room is a time-honored tradition in Paradise. And to not have it this season at all, it didn't feel like Paradise. I think that was a part of why this season was so bad. I mean, there's infinite amounts of different gameplay strategies you can come up with through the use of the Boom Boom Room. We watched Kenny Brash expertly use it a couple of seasons ago. Demi expertly has used it many, many times. I don't know why they've taken it out or why they felt the need to... I mean, did people use it and they just cut it out of the show? I have no idea, but it wasn't there.
Maybe.
Yeah. You know, we'll never know. So moving on to our number 8 top 10 takeaway is the truth box. Now, every season in the recent history of the show has had these kind of weak attempts by producers to influence the game and inject some form of drama because they can't manufacture it any other way. I personally think that this truth box shit was like something they came up with because they were like 2 weeks into shooting and they were like, this season's terrible. Nothing's happening. We have to like make something happen. Fuck it. Let's get this truth box thing going. And if the players won't throw in anything interesting into the truth box, we'll just write a bunch of shit, throw it in there and see what happens. And it just didn't work.
Wouldn't it be crazy if Brayden and Rachel made up?
Yeah, exactly. These kind of like weak producing attempts. If you can't manipulate the situation or set up a scenario that will unfold in multiple ways that could all be interesting, that's like the best type of producing, is you say, we're going to put these two people in this situation and any outcome is going to be great TV. Instead, they say, we've put all these people in this situation, nothing interesting's happening. Now we have to write on pieces of paper what we want them to do. Just terribly done. And they brought it back 3 times. My favorite move of the season, this wasn't my play of the season, but my favorite move was probably Aaron S. smashing the truth box. I hope that he did that of his own volition, because it needed to be done, in my opinion.
I kind of feel like, I don't know,
If he did. Speaking of interesting choices this season, our number 7 top takeaway was that we had no 4TRR couple to root for. I would say Aaron B. and Eliza are maybe the closest thing that we have to it, but they made Aaron B. look like a villain when they brought in Charity as this torpedo and had Kat Izzo tattle on him to Eliza in the bathroom. We got a villain edit of Kat Izzo, who is a ring winner. I think this was actually my wowie of the season, was the edit of Kat Izzo. I don't understand why. I mean, she is a good villain, but these are your ring winners. These are the ones you're supposed to uphold as the most 4TRR ever.
I agree with you. Even John Henry, I got a fool edit the whole fucking season. So you have a villain and a fool that we're then supposed to care about. And then even after they won the ring and they did the recap footage at the very end of the finale episode of like, look back through the history of this season of Paradise. They threw in a bunch of shit in that recap reel of Kat Izzo being a villain. So even after she made the complete hero turn, she's now got her ring. Here, remember, she's a villain. It made no fucking sense. And I think it comes from, this is just my 2 cents on this. I think it comes from these producers looking only at the minutiae of like what's in the moment. How can we fill 2 hours of TV time or 3 hours of TV time? Here she's saying something crazy. Throw that in. Here she's saying something crazy. Throw that in. And they're not thinking about how this affects the long-term viewership of the whole season.
Yes.
That you're building a narrative arc that must be satisfying at the end of the season. And if you undercut all your main characters as you're going through that season of like, this person's a dipshit. This person's mean to everybody. Well, I don't fucking want that. I don't care if they get married. Fuck them, you know?
The first episode especially felt like that, where it's like, okay, well, let's get a love triangle. Even if none of these people are going to have any longevity in Paradise or end up with someone, it's like, okay, what's our triangle of the week?
And some of this shit, too, I think it does a big disservice to the game as a whole. Like what they did with Aaron B., for example, okay? They bring him back. I don't know that he had like exactly a villain edit per se in Charity Lawson season, but that girlfriend shit, like the girlfriend outside the show did come up. They tried to pin that on him. He's getting a redemption arc now. This is what Paradise is primarily for villains. They can come here, find a 4TR relationship, and hopefully blossom once again within the franchise. Aaron B. does that with somebody who is beloved from a prior season of Bachelor in Paradise, Eliza Isici. He's on his path. Then out of nowhere, they fucking get Kat Izzo to come in and stir this shit up.
Eliza is a golden girl. She is 4TRR incarnate. The fact that they weren't able to like focus on this 4TRR couple.
Yeah, I agree. And the fact that they had to bring back up shit he had already put to rest. You can see his eyes rolling when all this shit's happening. He's like, come on, are you fucking serious? It's old drama. It's past drama. And you're doing this in a way that shows all their players. Anybody who goes through Bachelor or Bachelorette watches Paradise. They need to know what's happening in the game because that may be their next move. Oh shit, I didn't make it so far in my rookie season of whichever the two main games. How am I going to get on Paradise? You watch the last season, you start to look at who might be there. You start putting together the game in your head. And when you see a season like this and you're like, fuck, they just fuck everyone over for seemingly no reason. To create what? Drama that does what? Nothing.
It made him look bad. It made Charity look bad. It made Eliza staying with him look bad. It just...
Yeah.
I don't know. And maybe they thought some other couple was going to be the 4TRR couple they could hang it on who broke up. I don't know. Like Kylie and Avon, maybe they were trying to force that proposal, but.
I mean, they need to, I guess they want to like build some kind of fake obstacle for him or whatever, you know, because like, is it really a fun relationship to watch if he comes in and is like, I'm all exing you. And she's like, great. And then they get engaged. You know what? The answer is yes. You can make that very fun because then they're the couple we're rooting for. They're the couple that's like a Brett and Tiffany, basically, on Love is Blind 4. You can't, like, they got the most Instagram followers. Everyone loved them because they're so into that story, into that relationship being real. They had seemingly no obstacles. There were a couple obstacles in that season where it was like, Brett was like, I buy a lot of tennis shoes. or sneakers. And she's like, I don't know about that. And that was it. You know, a cute kind of little.
Their obstacle is we want to have sex, but we're in the middle of the reception.
Yeah, exactly. And here you just have these kind of like manufactured obstacles that, in my opinion, don't work and ultimately can be cut out of the show. They edit this show way after it's shot. They know everything. They know what all the outcomes are going to be. They can put together a narrative of whatever they basically want to do in the course of that season through omission of certain things or addition of certain things or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they chose to keep all that in with Charity. They chose to make that her reason for being on the sand.
Here's a gentle 4TRR obstacle. I want to propose to Eliza, but I don't feel good about doing it without getting the blessing. What am I going to do?
Yeah. And like, why didn't they even show that blessing? That kind of undercut the importance of it.
Very strange to not show it.
I really don't understand why they did this to all their couples this season. Just completely threw them under the bus. And then you also see, you know, like what happened with Sam P and PP, what happened with Olivia and Michael, any of the couples that broke up in the end, you saw like one person was kind of willing to still play the game. Like Olivia was like, I think we should go to the fantasy suites. And he's like, I don't see a relationship with us at all ever again. These other people were like, fuck it. I came in here. I did what I had to do. And now I'm out. You're not getting like players who are game anymore. You're getting one maybe per season. Olivia Lewis this season, Kira Mengistu last season. And then you're also getting people like, you know, Becca Serrano just piecing out. It's, I don't know. They're doing something bad in how they are not allowing these couples to be 4TRR in an entertaining way and trying to make them villains, trying to make them fools at every turn.
Speaking of what I really wanted to see this season, and one of the highlights of the entire season for me, our number six takeaway is Braden Bowers and Christina Mandrell. This is the most interesting couple that happened, and it happened outside the show. It was only mentioned in the montage. You have so many, like two of the most entertaining Bachelor players in recent memory getting together. One is a package deal, so it's automatically 4TRR. It has stakes, it has clout, and I believe this is the result of the producers not accommodating star players like Mandrell. Why wasn't she on sand?
It 100% is that. Mandrell, Nate Mitchell, there's a bunch of players that I think were supposed to be on sand this season who were not there. And the reason, I believe personally, is that, especially in the case of Mandrell or Nate Mitchell, they have children and they probably were like, look, I don't want to come down there and waste my time. Can you at least give me some kind of a guarantee that like I'll get to...
You can't guarantee you're not going to be...
come out week one or whatever.
What was her face who never went down?
And the producers were probably like, fuck you.
The woman that never went down that one season.
Oh, the Ivan B. Hall had to go sneak into her room? Alexa Ray Caves. Yeah.
Can you guarantee me if I leave my child for 2 months, you won't Alexa Ray Caves
me? You're not
going to
caves me. Don't caves me. That's all I'm asking. Don't give me the caves treatment. Don't put me in the cave.
Take me to the airport. You've kidnapped me.
Yeah.
Don't caves me.
But like in terms of me being like excited and being like, oh, what I'm seeing on screen is fun. Nothing the entire season was more exciting or fun than just a fucking Instagram reel of Braden Bowers and Christina Mandrell going on a date. Can you imagine if you would have had them on a one-on-one date?
It might win Parasocial Play of the Year.
Yeah, it might. And should.
A late in the game contender.
It's absolutely mind-blowing to me that they don't understand any sport or game, whatever you want to call it, show, fine. Anything is only as good as the players, the people, the actors, the people who are on screen that we're watching. It's only ever going to be as good as that. And if you don't have people who are the best people that were popping off your screen in their rookie seasons, if you don't have those people, the fucking All-Star game is going to suck. Christina Mandrell's an All-Star. She should have been in the All-Star game. Yeah. Nate Mitchell's an All-Star. He should have been in the All-Star game. There are a bunch of other players that we can mention.
Yeah. Anyone who's been in, both of those people have been in crown contention in the conversation.
Yes.
All of those people should touch sand and they should be in the first round.
Absolutely. 100%. And I think that there are, you know, there's probably some of these players who are like, fuck you, I'm never going to Paradise. That's also a problem with producing. Why does anyone have that attitude about Paradise? You know what I mean? every one of these players should be like, oh shit, yeah. I get to go do another Bachelor show. Yeah, this is going to be great. This is going to be fun. It's like, no, if
you should make it where Popeye would go.
Yes. You know? I mean, how about this? Why not have a season that is almost all X crowns? As many of them as you can get. Pay the fucking money.
Sexy as hell.
Pay the fucking money.
Ugh,
I don't understand. I just don't get, like, to me, Paradise seems like, in the minds of the producers and even the network, it is just a throwaway whatever. It has the word Bachelor in it, and so there's going to be X amount of Bachelor fans who will watch, and that's all we give a fuck about. The rest of it, who cares? It just seems like, you know, from casting to the way they are putting this show together, it seems lazy to me and like an afterthought. And it just shows. It's like, I don't know what we're supposed to be watching here. And especially in this thing with Brayden Bowers and Christina Mandrell, when that little moment, which is a piece of media that is not even created by the show, is the most exciting moment of the season. And I don't think we're the only ones who feel like this, by the way. I got millions of fucking DMs about it.
No, the numbers on it are like 500K, a million views on these things.
More people are watching that than watch the show.
It's not a joke.
That's a problem.
Yeah. Definitely more people watching it than World Sassiest.
And I'm hoping that the producers like are looking at this, understanding this, seeing that it must be amended in some way. There are so many iterations of Paradise that would be amazing. With just a little tweaking, you know? I think maybe there's something to be done with, I talked about this in my recap, adding a new layer of like competition in it. Not anything that's like for a money prize, not anything that turns it into a game show, but something where you have like challenges during the day and the winners get to have like better sleeping conditions or something. Oh, you won. You get to go stay a night in the luxury hotel suite.
Play for time. Play for a one-on-one date, a date card. Does that fall into the no game show rules? Winning a date card?
No, I think you could do those things. I think winning date cards would be fine. I think that would be perfect. There just needs to be some other stakes in this, because like what the show is right now is it's a bunch of people who have not been built into strong characters through their rookie seasons, meandering around and like trying to avoid being the target of a producer villain edit. That's what the whole show feels like. And it ain't good, you know? And when you have these all-stars, like we're talking about Christina Mandrell, who don't even want to come into the show or can't get what they want to come into the show or whatever, that is a problem with the producing, in my opinion. Speaking of problems with producing, let's move on to our number five item here on the top 10 list. Instagram growth is deceased. And this is a problem of the producing. We saw in, I believe it was BIP 7, we had Brenna Marais and Piper James having their conversation about Instagram followers and why they're coming into the show and all that. And that was used as this kind of pivotal moment in the franchise where they put it on camera and they turned him into giant villains. And they had Grocery and his gang of disgruntled females kick them off the beach. And this idea, I think, at that very moment was injected into the franchise that Instagram itself is evil. Even the mention of it is 4TRR, or 4TWR, sorry. And from that point...
And they gave Natasha a producer rose.
Oh, yeah, fuck.
For her suffering at the hands of these Instagram villains.
And from that moment forward, we have watched a sharp decline in Instagram growth in our beloved game. Kind of across other games, too, but you still see in other games like Love is Blind, people are getting into the high five and 600,000s after successful seasons like Brett Brown and Tiffany Pennywell.
It's possible.
Yeah, it's possible to come off of these shows and still pop off.
Travis Kelce.
Yeah, it's possible if you're dating the most famous person in the world to also get Instagram followers if you can pull that off. But I think that it has done a massive disservice also to like the state of the game. This is part and parcel with the producers treating you like shit on the show, making players not want to come in. Now there's no benefit to suffering through the producers' shitty treatment. You aren't going to get Instagram followers either. Who the fuck's ever going to want to come on Paradise? We're looking at like Olivia Lewis, who I think did the most work this season, right now is sitting at 64.2 thousand followers. You can't even crack 100K now?
The disrespect. I can't. She, oh my God. The parasocial play that she did this week, we'll obviously talk about it in Twibbon, but it was something about carrying things on her back
said my back hurts.
My back hurts. Yeah. Yeah. So good. Her back hurts. She broke her back and she has 64.2K.
And it's like the producers can do stuff to help this too. You know, Olivia Lewis is somebody who was like game. Very clearly, she was working with the producers, doing what they wanted, doing what they asked, you know, probably even coming up with some plot lines for herself, just doing the most work to make sure you've got somebody in the show who's entertaining. Constant colorful narration, constant commenting on other people's relationships, putting herself in the business of it, being the villain if she has to, taking a 4TRR turn if she has, doing whatever. This is just a fucking worker.
In a season that was mostly ITMs, it was very crucial.
And, you know, if they wanted to, they could be promoting her through their social media. Why not? Give her a little bit of a bump. Get her out there in front of all these articles. Give her some Us Weekly articles, some People Magazine articles. Instead, none of that happens. She is left to fend for herself, dismissed unceremoniously. They have to cut together her exit speech out of like Frankenbitten ITM shit that they're playing over her face. It was just a sad thing to watch, honestly. And I think that, you know, a lot of these other shows now that are starting to pop off, these aggregator kind of all-star shows like Perfect Match, you are seeing people do well on social media there. If it blows up, you are in like these other games. Like I was saying, Love is Blind. There is still money to be made as an influencer who comes from reality TV. But if Paradise can no longer promise that, you're going to see weaker and weaker crops of players who are less and less interesting. And that show will fade into obscurity. You must keep your players famous.
And more fearful. Sorry, but like if it's not worth it to get Instagram followers, you're not going to risk what you're doing, what you're saying, wild play strategy. Why would you? There's no point in making great TV.
Exactly. That is exactly right. Instagram and social media is the reward for coming on these shows. If you take the reward away, no one will come on these shows. I just don't know, like, what is Bachelor in Paradise season 10 going to look like if they don't correct some of this shit? I have no idea. I mean, we'll obviously have to wait and see who the rookies are in Bachelor 28.
30 poop babies.
Everybody comes down. The first thing they say to Jesse Palmer at the gates to hell is, I haven't shit in a week already. Oh, my God.
Speaking of poop babies, our number four most important takeaway from this Bachelor in Paradise season was the Kenny and Mari wedding. This is a wedding of ring winners from, what, two seasons ago? You should be propping them up. We should know who these characters are. We should be looking forward to this wedding. We've had Paradise weddings before where they've managed to, you know, turn the reception into drama that look like giant, amazing events that you would want to have. It should be what you aspire to. Instead, we see, it feels like an afterthought. And we see the first row is just Wells by himself and Blake Moynes. There's no hint that it could be a real wedding. In fact, they bring in the wait staff and the chefs to kind of fill out the crowd. Treating the wedding kind of like this blip joke, I think also diminishes the quote unquote ultimate reward, which is to become ring winners, to find your fiance, to get married. Like they're actually doing it. There's nothing more 4TRR than doing that.
Yeah. Not only was it an afterthought, they already were married.
Clues, you know, I'm on my year of health, 2024. I'm trying to really focus on that. You know, I've got my career in order. I've got, you know, other aspects of my life, but I eat badly and I take care of myself badly. But that is changing now. I have discovered Lumi. Lumi is a game-changing whole-body deodorant designed by an OBGYN to work not only on pits, but also feet, privates, and everywhere else we get odor. I use their wipes. I use their, they have a traditional deodorant stick too, which I use, a lovely coconut smell about it. And no matter where you use it, Lumi is clinically proven to block odor all day long, all thanks to its one-of-a-kind pH-optimized formula. They have over 275,000 five-star reviews to show for it.
It's baking soda free, it's paraben free, it's pH balanced for safe use below the belt, clinically proven to control odor better than a shower with soap alone. 12 hours after a shower, the average person has an odor level of 6 out of 10. Did you know that?
That's
a
disgusting.
High level. With Lumi, the average odor level is, guess what? 0 out of 10.
Yes.
Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice. You could get mini body wash, you can get deodorant wipes, whatever you want, and free shipping. And as a special offer for everyone listening right now, new customers are going to get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code ROSES at LumiDeodorant.com. That's L-U-M-E deodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off this starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use that code ROSES.
Clues. I quit bras during the pandemic. I said, no more. They're not comfortable. I'm being comfy as a lifestyle. And I couldn't picture a bra that would exist that I would want to wear. But today's sponsor, Honeylove, has revolutionized the bra game. They don't have underwire, they don't have bulky fabrics, and they are so soft. Basically feels like a second skin, which is the only type of bra I will be wearing in the year of our gore, 2024. Mm-hmm. I got the crossover bra, the black runway one. It has this cute like mesh that adds peekaboo mesh that adds this very sexy touch, so it's like doesn't look like it's, you know, a comfortable bra, but it is. And I guess I'm a bra person again, it turns out.
Well, congrats, Pace Case. I know it's a big step for you right now. You can treat yourself to the best bras on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/roses. Use that exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/roses. After you purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. Please support Game of Roses and tell them we sent you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
Clues. A Mother's Day is coming up.
That's true.
You know, that's one of the most important holidays. We got to honor our mothers. They all went through a lot to get us here into this planet. And the gifts for Mother's Day, they can be a little predictable and boring. Sweaters, candles, the dreaded bathrobe. You only need one bathrobe, in my opinion. That's why Aura Frames is the perfect gift to mix things up this year. Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter, Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
Aura Frames are Wi-Fi connected. They come with unlimited storage. You can share as many photos as you want from your phone to your mom's frame. Not only is she going to be grateful that it's not just another sweater for Mother's Day, she's also going to love that an Aura frame means she gets to see more of you. Or in my case, she gets to see more of my cat, Skaboolian. My mom loves seeing him rolling around, playing with his toys, doing whatever, and I can upload as many images of him as I want every day, and my mom gets to see them in her Aura frame and then text me about it for all the rest of the day. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Everybody listening to Game of Roses can save on that perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code ROSES at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Agreed. I mean,
well,
they sold their actual wedding to People. It was covered. There were pictures. There were articles. All of that came out, I believe, in early November.
Always be getting married.
Yeah. I don't know which one happened chronologically first, but at least the reporting of them being married came out in early November. This episode came out in early December. So for already a month, we know they're married. There's no like, oh my God, they're finally getting married. It just seemed fake.
Who's going to be the couple that's getting married?
Yeah. I mean, we predicted that it would be them very early on.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. This wedding was mishandled. Come with me, if you will, into an alternate universe where episode one is this. We don't see anybody walk down to the beach. We don't see who's first sin and all that shit. The first 18 players are, we open on The first 18 players are sitting in nice clothes in a nice wedding chapel, waiting for somebody to come out and get married. Kenny and Mari get married in an elaborate, beautiful ceremony, and that kicks off the season. This could be you a year from now. And now we watch all these people.
Amazing.
Rachel Recchia gets a date card immediately after the wedding at the reception. She and Braden Bowers go to some beautiful restaurant. They go out dancing. They have a little wedding reception of their own. Oh my God, the emotions are high. Mm. Everything's great. This could be how you produce the season. Instead, it's not. Instead, Kenny and Mari come in and they are treated to Dark Lord Palmer standing next to a small wicker table with two conch shells on it and a few blankets draped over some fucking picnic benches. And that's a wedding that people are supposed to give a shit about. And this is going to make you have the hard conversations. Then you get 100 ITMs from every player being like, seeing that wedding really made me realize I have to get clarity on these hard conversations. And it's like, oh God, it's just so rote by the book, paint by numbers. There's nothing behind it. They got to change this. It's not hard to change this. Just care about the shit you're making. That's all you got to do. Care about it.
How do you really feel?
That's how I feel. I fucking care about it. I love this goddamn franchise. I don't like seeing what's happening. I don't think any of us do.
Yeah. No.
Especially when it's like, it's right next to Golden. Golden is like almost a perfect fucking piece of media. And then it, like, as soon as that fucking hour shift happens, you're like, wait, what? The same people are making this? To some degree. I mean, it's different producer groups, but it's under the same franchise banner. And some people are responsible for both.
Same host.
Same host. I just don't get it.
Only 50 days home a year.
Yeah. But that wedding really, to me, was a very clear example of them saying, this is something the show needs. We need to have a wedding in the end, but just put no money into it, no time, no thought. And it'll be fine. And it's not. It just isn't.
Yeah.
It's bad. Speaking of bad things, our number three top 10 takeaway was, of course, the poop baby.
For me, this is actually probably my number one because it's the thing I'll remember the most.
Yeah. I think for sure it's the number one thing from this season. They kept hitting it hard, hitting it often. And, you know, we got the poop clock. We got all the different conversations that poor Sam had to have with this fucking doctor. We got the turtle putting his head out of the shell. And this really now has become something that they do basically every season. This is like a Sally's suitcase type scenario where they take somebody's fool edit to a level that is like horrible and really counter to the idea of what Paradise is. It's like you were saying earlier, Pace Case. This is supposed to be the sexier, like hot couples doing their thing out on the beach. We don't want to see Ashley Iaconetti with creamy Caesar farts. We don't want to see her pissing on herself in the sand. We don't want to see.
We only need three poop baby clocks maximum.
Yeah.
Per season.
That's right. Once you go over three, it's three is tasteful. Four poop baby clocks. Yeah. No, now we've reached some strange realm.
That's indulgent.
Yeah. It is. It fucking is. But like, I'm just gonna. This was in one of our ones that almost made the cut. But I'll add it on here. It's like the burrito in the opening video montage where Jesse Palmer takes a bite out of a burrito, then he throws it off screen, and Wells catches it and takes a bite,
which I thought was a Subway sandwich.
Oh,
for a while, I didn't make the connection.
It goes along with this idea. Same thing with Poop Baby of like, this show really tries to be funny and it's not. I don't know who's coming up with these ideas. The shit's not funny. That burrito thing doesn't make any sense. I don't understand it.
Jesse was a football player.
Yeah.
He can throw things quarterback style. Sure. Wells is his shadow.
Okay.
His little sidekick.
Yeah.
He catches his throws.
I mean, the entire opening video montage is kind of a
running back.
What?
Nothing.
Okay.
I was trying to think of what the catcher is in football.
The catcher in football? There's no catcher in football. That's baseball. But the people who catch the footballs.
Not the running back?
Running backs can catch passes. So can wide receivers, tight ends, flanker backs. Linemen are the only people who can't catch a forward pass.
Those ones.
And that's been our football corner. Thank you very much.
What, a lineman's never caught a ball? I bet that's not true. I bet they've scored.
Well, it's illegal to do that. You would get a penalty for it.
What?
Yeah, but you can catch like interceptions. Linemen can intercept balls and stuff.
That's what I mean. It gets tossed all skedaddle.
That's an interception, though. That's a different thing.
Wait, an interception is different than a catch?
Yes, an interception is when somebody on the other team catches a ball passed by the offensive team.
But you're still catching it.
Yep. But it doesn't count as a reception. It's an interception.
Okay.
Jeez. Wait a minute. What were we talking about? Oh, the burrito. So this burrito... The burrito is part of this video montage, which they've had for a long time. And I think, you know, generally works. It is a parody of like an 80s sitcom opening video montage, similar to like a Three's Company or whatever.
I don't think you need it.
I agree.
I think you golden it.
I agree.
One tiny little snippet. You can get better with that time. I don't feel like I'm getting to know the people as well through the intros.
Or hear me out. Instead of making them goofy and giving everyone a fool edit, make them power pose hero shots. Golden sun setting behind them. Make them look as good as you possibly can.
Yes. Like Love Island.
Turn the show into something of beauty. Yes, exactly.
They do like slow-mo of their like wet bodies coming out of pools and stuff.
Yeah, shit like that. The comedy doesn't work on this show. I'm sorry to say it. Bachelor in Paradise is not a funny show. They, not intentionally funny. There are some players who do very funny shit in this show. And maybe even intentionally, but not because of the producers. I'm talking specifically about the comedic ideas producers try to put in this show do not work ever, in my humble opinion. You're looking at Poop Baby. You're looking at Sally's Suitcase, the burrito. I mean, do you laugh at any of this shit?
No.
I don't think anybody does.
I did laugh at the wedding.
But yeah, they're not trying to make a wedding funny.
I was trying to think of what I was laughing. I was like, yeah. There was, oh yeah, Wells is the best man. Okay.
Yeah. This could be you. A year from now, you could be having a horribly shitty wedding that people are laughing at out in Bachelor Nation. I just don't think that they're like, when they're trying to make these comedic bits, they don't work. They even take people when they have like guest hosts and shit like David Spade, who are genuinely like funny people. They make them unfunny. It just doesn't work. Like, this needs to turn on its head, move it from we're going to make everybody look like shit and make jokes at their expense to we're going to make everybody look fantastic and you're going to want all of them to wind up falling in love. Mm. And you're going to really care about that happening. Look at Golden Bachelor. That's why it worked. We wanted every one of those women to wind up with fucking yes. Gary. And when he's kicking them off the show, you're like, fuck, not her. Oh, God, not her. Oh, shit, Susan.
It's the format.
That's what we need to be seeing. Every week. Every week. Try not to villainize anyone.
Speaking of falling in love with our beloved characters, our number two top takeaway is the penis sculptor, the animal play man, the ring winner from Katie Thurston's season, who was also on Tayshia and Claire's season, Blake Moynes. Established himself this season as the number one utility crown. He went Vial style onto this sand, and he seemed horchiarar in his exit. He can't find love. I mean, will he try one last time? Is there hope for this man ever finding love? Well, there is if there's not a compelling person on the next season of Bachelorette.
I agree. I mean, I can already see his promo. We're in the woods. We're in the woods of Alberta, Canada, far away from society, a small log cabin, a thin wisp of smoke coming out of the top of the chimney. The door opens and there's Blake Moynes, bearded, shirtless, suspenders, carrying an axe. He's been living out in the woods, just working on himself, becoming a man off the land. But now he's ready to find love. Something like this.
That's so good.
Thank you.
It kind of reminds me the sexy Joey tennis playing promo.
I've been thinking about it for months.
You've been thinking about it for months.
That tennis playing promo of Grazie was fucking... I watched it again. It's very good. It's very good.
And you can see that for Blake Moynes. He's got like little suspenders. He's in front of a fire, the axe. He's got a bunch, like his dog or his creatures. Yeah.
There was a thing in that Grazzi promo.
He jumps off a rhino.
It was almost like, not exactly like this, but like it had a tone of it, at least to me, of like a Marvel movie trailer or something. They're making him like a superhero almost. There's a tone of it in there.
Yeah.
With that weird alarm sound that they keep putting in. There's like an urgency to whatever they're doing.
What's that Dream Within Dreams movie?
Inception?
It reminds me of Inception, kind of.
Yeah, it has that a little bit. And I think that's a good thing to do. It's painting this franchise in a new kind of light that is very interesting. Mm-hmm. And I got to say, as much as we're shitting all over Bachelor in Paradise Season 9 here, I do think the franchise is doing some shit better than they've ever done it. And it does feel like with this Grazia Day season, they're turning on the fucking juice with these promos. Like, they're marketing that thing very well.
Opto 2023 worked out wonders for Bachelorette and Golden.
I agree. BIP, they didn't get the message, but I did like everything Blake Moynes did this season pretty much. I think he did do enough, like you're saying, to put himself at the top of that utility player list. And, you know, we've talked about this all season. If he can manage to swing crown next year, I think that's probably his only shot at it. I think after 2 years have passed, he's too long out of the spotlight. But if he can swing Bachelor next year, or Bachelor next January, Bachelor season 29, essentially, then you must begin the conversation of, is he the greatest player to have ever lived? He's close to it now. He's in the top five for sure, just based on stats alone. He's got a ring.
Maybe if he came on Gore.
Yeah, well, we should get him. We should talk to him about it. Because he's the only player to have dated three bachelorettes in succession, back to back to back.
Oh, wait, sorry. I thought you were talking about Vial.
No, Moynes. We'll get Vial eventually, too.
Vial style.
Yeah. He crashed a season like Vial. He dated two back-to-back bachelorettes, and then a third one in the Katie Thurston season crash. He now has got his paradise on, and if he can get crown... I mean, that's a big thing to be able to get. That's like a huge thing. But if he can pull that off, I just don't know how you could make an argument against him being the greatest player of all time.
Those are the only two crowns that have come from sand, right? Underwood and Vial?
To my knowledge, yes. I can't think of any others. But we'll keep an eye on that, obviously. All right.
Don't worry.
Yeah, don't worry. The Moynes watch is in effect.
Clues has already made the promos for Moynes' Bachelor season.
I'm using AI to just create that season, Blake Moynes' Bachelor. Yeah. You know what? I'll tell you this about AI. I think within the next like year or two, it will be possible to make any season of Bachelor you want with any Bachelor, any Bachelorette, any player pool. And I'm going to be doing as many as I can.
2 to 5 years.
2 to 5 years, yes, exactly. Maybe sooner. I'm not sure. But let's move on here to our final number one. At the top of the list, top 10 takeaways from Bachelor in Paradise Season 9 is the ratings death of the show. Worst rated season in the history of Bachelor in Paradise. And it dropped half of the numbers basically every week of Golden Bachelor lead-in. Golden Bachelor was crushing the ratings. It won every week. Absolutely dominant across all networks. Then literally the only thing that happened was people had to just leave their TVs on the same channel and watch a little more Bachelor. And instead, they all, or half of them, turned off their fucking TV or started watching something else. Just not a good sign.
Yeah.
Not a good sign.
When you can't be on the side of inertia, it's not a good sign.
Yes. That means that the show was like actively bad enough by direct comparison to Golden that people were like, nah, I'm out. This is a good show. This is a bad show. It just is, it's, you can't have this. And I know that there is, to some degree, you could maybe blame this on like the volume of it, that people aren't going to be able to watch two Bachelor shows back to back no matter what they are. And that may be a little bit true. Mm-hmm. And that has to do with programming, which is out of the hands of the producers. That's ABC making these orders. We need a Golden Bachelor and this is when we're going to air it. And we need a Paradise and this is when we're going to air it. And Paradise was 2 hours versus Golden's one.
We're still only one channel with other stuff other than Bachelor.
Exactly. But all of those kind of like details of this, the scheduling, the length of time each of these shows was going to be, that is firmly out of the control of the producers. They have nothing to do with that. That's all network decisions. That said, if you have a show
like Golden, a ratings juggernaut that is dominating everything. This is exactly what you want in terms of being a network show. You want a huge lead in, because then your only job is to just like keep people watching TV a little bit. And they dropped the ball here on this. Now, what it means in the future of the franchise, we're not going to know until next Paradise. How are they going to roll it out? Will it even be there? But these numbers mean a lot to the people making those decisions. The network TV ratings are all that fucking matter. That's how they make their money off these shows. And these ratings were not good. I don't know that they even won. Maybe they won 1 or 2 weeks with Paradise, but the other ones they didn't across network TV. They were getting beat by all kinds of stuff. So something is going to have to be done, I think, in service of that. I don't think this is like something the network will ignore at all. Something will be changed in Paradise next season. I don't think they can do what they did this season again.
Yeah. At the same time, like, the show has been going on for so long. It's like, it can take a dip. Maybe they blame it on the tonnage thing.
But there's going to be more tonnage next year. And I mean, that this is kind of like, not that this is on our top 10 list, but it really is getting to that point. I just don't know how they're going to do next year. Like, I'm almost 100% positive we're getting Bachelor, Bachelorette, Golden Bachelor, Golden Bachelorette, and probably Paradise again. I mean, right now we're in the off season. We're going to have, what, about 2 months, I guess, a little more than 2 months and a week until Grazia Day, January 27th.
Creams and serums are made of 70% water, 15% preservatives and emulsifiers, leaving only around 15% for the active ingredients that your skin needs. But luckily now, there's Fiber Skincare.
15 years ago, the scientists behind Fiber Skincare started working on nanofibers, which are 500 times smaller than human hair. You know, I saw that in Three Body Problem. Mm. 1 year ago, they patented a way of wrapping the nanofiber around oil or liquid-based ingredients. This means they can deliver 5 times the active ingredients compared to creams or serums, as there is no need for water, preservatives, or emulsifiers.
The first formulation made with this technology is plant-based, anti-wrinkle. It's a set of patches that you use over a series of 7 days. You just put these on whenever you would apply your serums, and your skin is going to feel tighter in 10 seconds. And over the seven-day program, it has been clinically proven to reduce wrinkles by, get this, 19.4%, a very precise percentage. In fact, they have a tighter skin guarantee. If your skin isn't tighter in 7 days, they're going to give you your money back, no questions asked.
You get the tighter skin guarantee with this 7-day routine. Tighter skin or your money back. Get a 15% discount code by using the discount code GAME. That's Fiber Skincare.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Second. And we also have the live Gary Turner and Teresa wedding on January 4th. So there's a little bit of Bachelor content in there, but...
And we will not be off, by the way. We have some really amazing things coming up in the off season.
Oh, Jesus.
Submit your question, 1 minute voice memo questions to askgameofroses@gmail.com. Yeah.
And also get your hat ready, because you're going to need to hold on to it in the very near future for something we got planned.
Make sure it's a tight bucket hat style.
Yeah. Yeah. We have some very interesting stuff coming up. So we hope you'll join us for that, but... I just want to make kind of a point about these ratings of BIP and what it means, I think, in the kind of the landscape of what this franchise is going to look like next year. BIP is the least important part of it to the network because of these numbers. I don't know what that's going to mean in terms of how they alter it or move it around or whatever, but it's the least important of the main shows now. Golden Bachelorette, I'm sure they know, is going to be massive. And the next Golden Bachelor will be too. I think they're putting most of their eggs in those baskets. And Charity season performed very well too. We saw those ratings spike up when they dropped it back to its regular time slot. I think they're very pleased with that. And there is so much momentum going into Grazia Day season. I think it's going to be massive. I think that's going to be a big win for them. And they're then looking at Bachelor in Paradise and saying, well, why the fuck? All these other shows are doing great. What in the fuck is wrong with Bachelor in Paradise? Why is it dropping the numbers every time? Something will probably be changed.
Time will tell. We're opto 2020 gore on on BIP, but you know, 2 for 3
can't be worse.
2 for 4
What? What are you talking about? You trying to do some more football shit?
I was like, oh yeah. Well, we had Zach season 2. We had a couple other notable things from this list. We had the abrupt departure of Becca Serrano with no explanation. That was an interesting thing that happened. And Split Week is gone. They tried it one last season to a terrible, terrible result. You know, I'm kind of sad that they didn't try it again, at least try to do it better, because Cause Not More is such, you know, it's one of my favorite game elements, period. Are they going to stop experimenting with mechanics from other games because of this?
But the reason that didn't work is because they had already ground the players down. When they did that, none of those players were game. They were like, fuck you, we're not doing this. I'm just going to sit around and wait till I can get back with my boyfriend or whatever.
They didn't time it right.
Yeah, not only did they not time it right, all these players are like suspicious of what producers are doing. When they throw a big thing in the game like that, all those players are like, fuck, how are they going to make me look bad by doing this? And so they just fucking sit on their hands and are like, I'm not giving you any footage. Fuck you.
I'm not going to be the first person to like leave my partner in history of Bachelor in Paradise.
Exactly. That's going to be a bad look for me. So I don't know if they're going to use other shit from other games or not. But
because in Stick or Twist, you want people to twist. That's the fun part.
But that was it. That's our top 10 takeaways with a couple more. Like I said, this was not the best season of BIP by a long shot, but all these things are interesting. I do think, like, again, I know that these are largely like negative things about the season, but to me, objectively, it's still just data. And looking at it like, okay, this is where the franchise is. We have to objectively understand and accept that Paradise is like in the toilet while every other piece of the Bachelor franchise is exploding in popularity. What's wrong here? And I think that the things we've outlined are like big pieces of it.
Not all pieces of the season were in the toilet, though. We do have our season-long awards. What was your face play of the season?
My face play of the season was Olivia Lewis. Week one, she did in an ITM a sticking out her tongue with a winking eye roll that, I mean, she was turning in great face play all season long, but that one just kicked off the season to me of like, oh, who is this? Because she was a night one player I didn't know much about. And then she exploded and started for me with one of those face plays in one of her ITMs. How about you?
That winking tongue out eye roll was also my face play of the season. It was objectively the best we saw. The producers recognized it as well as they put it in multiple episodes as if she was reacting to multiple different things. Loved it. What was your creature of the season?
There was, for me, only one choice here. We are, of course, talking about that beautiful hound named Coco. Coco was in multiple episodes, multiple scenes. Coco had
a black box.
Yeah, had a lot of genitalia and asshole play that warranted the black box. Really stole the scene. Was even at Mari and Kenny's fucking wedding. Hard to beat. Who was your creature?
I generally am partial to dog creatures, but one creature was in my mind and will never leave it. And for this reason, the poop baby turtle got my... creature of the season. I'll never forget it, unfortunately.
I don't know, me either. God.
Going in and out. In all the promos.
I know. Who was your Jorge Moreno bystander of the season?
So this is the award I was referencing earlier of something that I felt represented this season. The chef staff that witnessed Kat's tearful birthday party and Kenny and Mari's fake wedding were my Jorge Moreno bystanders of the season. I feel like they really showed the fourth audience. We were forced to bear witness just as they were.
Interesting. Yeah.
To the season.
I remember feeling very bad for them as well. But this season, Dr. Kelly Tenbrink, the poop baby doula, was my Jorge Moreno bystander of the season. They brought in doctors before. Do you remember Doc Guac?
Oh, yes.
I forget what that was. Somebody had needed more guacamole or something. They brought in a doctor.
Taj needed guacamole because she was having heat stroke.
Yeah, that makes sense. This guy came in. He was in multiple episodes. He had to come back to make sure she had taken the shit by daybreak that one day, and she hadn't, and that's why she had to leave. He was doing a lot of work, and I appreciate you, Dr. Kelly Tenbrink. Thank you. What was your error of the season?
Brayden going on the one-on-one date with Becca Serrano after his great one-on-one date with Rachel Recchia was my error of the season. There were multiple people who dropped the ball with Recchia, but Brayden's was the most personally devastating for me. As soon as it happened, I was like, oh, I think this is error of the season. And that does not happen that often.
Look, I agreed with you.
Who was yours?
Brayden dropping the ball with Recchia was also my error of the season. She is the biggest player there. To align with her in any way, be it a dynamic duo, especially in a romantic relationship, is the goal of the season for any player. And he had achieved that goal. And then completely lost it. Even after he came back from the date with Becca Serrano, he could have still salvaged it and said, you know what? I went out with her and it only made me more sure about how I feel about you. She's great and everything, but like what we have is special and I want to continue pursuing it. And he did not do that. And then of course, tragedy struck when Becca Serrano left because she felt that she was being imprisoned by producers and she stormed off into the night and then Brayden is left with nothing. It was just a massive, massive error. He, you know, is now with Christina Mandrell, so it doesn't matter, I guess, in the grand scheme. But had he stayed with Recchia,
True love finds a way.
Indeed, that is the goal of paradise. But had he stayed with Recchia, maybe they become the power couple of that entire season, and we get a very different Bachelor in Paradise season 9.
Who had your play of the season?
Brayden Bauer swooping in on Recchia after Sean McLaughlin dropped the ball was my play of the season. It's hard to give somebody a play and an error for basically the same thing.
Yes.
But when he swooped in on her, I was like, this is it. He's setting up basically a main character run in Bachelor in Paradise season 9. And I didn't know next week he would completely shatter it. But when he made that play, play was fantastic. Blew my mind. How about you?
This was a tough one. But I have to say that Kat's stealing John Henry from Olivia and extracting a proposal was my play of the season. This was the only thing that shocked me from the season was this proposal. I love that feeling. And this pivot was incredible. Kind of all eggsing a player who you would think they wouldn't be that compatible. And the show kind of edited them that way.
No, she was a very interesting player. And I agree with you, that play was fantastic. I don't know. Her whole season was so bizarre that she was like a fool, a villain, now a hero, now a villain again. But yeah, she did make some great plays. All right, so this is it. Our final awards of the season. Who was your MVP, Pace Case?
For her broken back, Olivia Lewis was my MVP. The caption didn't lie. She carried the season on her back. I loved watching her this season. She was incredible. Just the star of it in every way. Didn't really get that much of a villain edit. Unfortunately, didn't have the romance story, but I think that was maybe for the best, considering the romance stories that we saw.
I agree. Olivia Lewis was also my MVP of the season. It is astounding to watch somebody come from complete obscurity to become the star of Paradise in such a way. I would even argue like a Grocery, who was also a night one player that came to prominence in Paradise. He had a little more prominence going in. There was at least a big social media groundswell. Everybody liked him off Becca Kufrin's season. Please, oh, he should be the Bachelor, all this stuff. Olivia Lewis had none of that. Came in blind. Nobody knew who the hell she was and just dominated the season.
Not true. She was in my final four prediction from right. her Instagram.
I forgot about that. But other than that.
Took a wild swing.
Yeah, other than Pace Case's predictions, I thought she just did the most of anyone, hands down, did everything the producers asked of her and more, and is very good as a colorful narrator, is very funny, can also make a 4TRR turn. She really showed she's got every tool you need to be a fantastic player in this game, and I'm really saddened by the fact that she's not even going to crack 100K. I hope there is more opportunity for her in this franchise. I hope that she proved to the producers that she should be asked back next season on Paradise at the very least. If not, let her crash, you know, some
anything.
Bachelor season, perhaps a Blake Moynes season.
Golden. She's the bartender on Golden Paradise.
Yeah, let her go on Golden. I could see something like that. Let her just host Golden.
Yeah, we gotta, DLP, Empathetic King, he's gonna have a little baby soon.
Yeah, he can't be hosting a show every day, which is like where we're headed, by the way. Each one of these shows takes about...
They just start like AIing.
Why not? They hire Chris Harrison to come back and do the host, but then they CG Jesse Palmer's face over him.
You know what's so funny is the feeling I have whenever I see like a promo for anything Michael Strahan is in.
Oh, that's
and
funny.
Then I just have this instant reaction where I'm like, oh, DLH will be so mad if he sees this.
Oh my God. Well, thank you everyone for joining us on this ride of BIP season 9. It was a rocky one, but we have learned things from it. And I am very optimistic about generally the franchise as a whole. BIP 9, I think, was an anomaly.
I'm more optimistic than I've been since COVID of the franchise as a whole.
Me too. And if you look back in the history of Bachelor, there were some low point seasons in there too. I'm talking about season 10. I'm talking about season 8. But that's Andy Baldwin and Travis Stork.
Talking about Rachel Lindsay saying reach out to all of these black magazines and black media outlets. Yeah. And then the Bachelor franchise said, no, we're not doing that. They don't want it.
That was a clip we played in our most recent Digging Deeper where Rachel Lindsay is talking about how the promotions department lied directly to her about trying to get her on these kind of black media outlet shows to promote her season.
Good to be grateful for where we're at.
Exactly. There are a lot of good things about the Bachelor franchise. I think it's in many ways in a better place than it has been in a long, long time. And I'm looking very forward to covering it all with you, Pace Case, in 2020 Gore.
Me too.
So with that said, please stay tuned. Like we were saying up top, we have some very interesting shows coming up to finish out the year here. And there's one specifically that I think is going to blow people's minds. So get ready for that. And before we go, as always, what is that Dwabat?
It's been 7,932 days without an Asian Bachelor. Praise be the Dark Lord Palmer.
Please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please Please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us, and then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us, and then